Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the epistle for this day from James chapters 3 and 4. I read for you again these words. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. It's often been said, and we usually try to teach our children, be careful of who your friends are. Choose your friends wisely, for you are known by the company you keep. So as we hear our Lord's words this day, it is good for us to consider whether we are friends of the world or friends of God. Today's gospel, Jesus tells us that the disciples were arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. And this was right after Jesus told them that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. They seem not to have heard a word Jesus had said, for they were more concerned about themselves and who was the greatest than they were about Jesus. But before we think too rashly of those disciples, we need to realize that we are just like them. From the day we were born, we are full of jealousy and selfish ambition. We fight and quarrel with each other at home, at work, at school, and even in the church. We covet and murder, if thought, if not in deed. In short, we all want our own way and will stop at nothing to get it. We are God's enemies because we are self-centered and proud. We are total selfies as we ooze self-love, self-gratification, self-interest from every pore. That's why nothing we do is truly good. Because of our inbred sin, even our motives are wrong, whether it's what we do or even our praying. Apart from our Lord's sacrificial love for us, displayed by his act of redemption, there are no pure motives. Yes, we are much too often friends of the world and thus seek worldly things. So we stand condemned by St. John's words. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Of this we are all guilty. And this desire for earthly things makes us each an enemy of God. James put it this way. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, this is certainly strong language, and it needs to be. if we are to really understand what he's trying to say. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. And God means it. When our desires are set only on ourselves and what we want, we have made ourselves God. If our primary or only concern is our happiness, then we become God's enemies. If we prioritize sports, entertainment, pleasure, the attainment of status or stuff, even the bearing of grudges, you know, worldly things, over God and His Word and His gifts, we are friends with the world and at odds with God. And throughout the Old Testament, we read how God deals with His enemies. Paul warns the Galatians that those that live according to these sinful desires will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is certainly a scary thought, especially when we see it from the standpoint of eternity. You see, we can't have it both ways. It's an either-or situation. We cannot serve both God and mammon. But by ourselves, we can't do anything about it. From the time we are conceived and born, our focus is on ourselves and on our desires. And if that's as far as it goes, things would be pretty bleak for all of us. But James does not leave it there. He provides the solution to this problem, the cure for sinful pride. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What a contrast to earthly desires. And this perfectly describes the Lord Jesus, who is divine wisdom incarnate. Jesus is that wisdom which has come down from heaven above. And since He is true God, He is pure. There's no spot or stain or blemish of sin on Him. And while He was on earth, He was peaceable, even when He responded with truly righteous anger, as when He overturned the tables in the temple and threw the money changers out. His life exhibited a gentleness and willing submission as He fully submitted to the will of His Father in all things and was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't fight back when He was accused, beaten, whipped, spit upon, and finally nailed to the cross. He never sought revenge against His enemies. And He didn't show any partiality either. He died for all. For the Jews, the Romans, the Greeks, the thief on the cross, and you and me. He was willing to give up His life so that our sins would be forgiven and we would have eternal life. Then He rose from the dead 3 days later. His death earned forgiveness for all our sins, and His resurrection shows that His death was sufficient payment. And it's that forgiveness that God gives to us in baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. For these are the means by which God pours out His grace to us. And that's why James says that God gives us more grace. St. Paul put it this way. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Christ trumps Satan. Grace trumps sin. Resurrection trumps death. So as much as we desire to please ourselves, God's grace is strong enough to overcome it. God's forgiveness is greater than all our selfish ambition and envy. He gives to us His divine wisdom, which enables us to be peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good works, impartial and sincere. When we were baptized, God gave us the faith by which we receive His forgiveness and the power to consider Him and our neighbor before ourselves. Because He sent His Son to be our Savior and His Spirit to create and sustain faith in our hearts through the means of grace, we no longer have to live as the world lives. We no longer have to choose the way of the world that causes all kinds of strife and division within our families and in Christ's church. God's grace is greater than all of it. For through His grace, He bestows forgiveness and the power to overcome the world. But if we're too proud to accept it, if we glory in our strength, if we'd rather go our own way, then we are God's enemies. But as the Holy Spirit works in us, as we realize our sinfulness and our inability to do anything about it, God's grace overcomes our selfishness and enables us to look to the needs of others. And then, as we pray with proper motives, with God's will and the good of our neighbor in mind, God hears our prayers and is pleased to grant what we ask. St. John put it this way. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Since we have been made children of God through our baptism, He answers our prayers for the sake of Jesus. And this great grace from God empowers us to focus on Him and on His kingdom. It helps us to live as His children. And when we need more of God's wisdom, we can and should ask for it confidently. After all, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Rest assured, people loved by God, that He has given you grace and that He will give you even more grace. Therefore, live in the confidence that you are His dear child, a friend of God, and live in peace with everyone. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.